thought I'd switch things up a little bit this morning because, you know, things haven't been switched up enough already today, and sort of do a lead-in before the scripture, before the gospel reading. Let's pray then first. God, we thank you for your word, for the ability to sing songs without accompaniment, as the case may be needed. Please give us grace to hear what you have to say to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So one of my friends from camp, he built up kind of a reputation as being the class clown. You couldn't put too much serious responsibility on him because he wasn't a serious guy. He was just kind of a goofball. But he'd grown up at camp as that lovable goofball. And you could see a couple times he had asked if he could get some more responsibility, but he'd been kind of pigeonholed into being the goofball. And the awkward part about the can't really handle responsibility is he'd gotten a master's degree. And it was kind of like, really? I kept thinking, has he maybe been pigeonholed into that space of, we know you, we know who you are, and that is who you are going to stay no matter what. You ever go home again after you've, I don't know, for me it was college, but that's much more recent for me than probably many of you. But when you've had this transformative experience and you go home and everybody expects that you're going to stay the same and you're just going to be who they remember that you were. Well, that is what happens to Jesus in this morning's scripture reading. Jesus comes back home in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And listen for the gospel of the Lord. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, where did this man get all this? Well, what is this wisdom that's been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary? The brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave them, shake off the dust that's on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Did you catch that? Jesus has been kind of pigeonholed into, oh, he's the carpenter's son. He's this person's brother. Can I tell the story on you, honey? Heather's sister. So my wife, Kristen, went to the same schools as her older sister, Heather. She's the second born. And all of the teachers were like, oh, you're Heather's sister. So everywhere she went, she was Heather's sister. She wasn't actually herself, but then it was college, right? In college, she got to be Kristen, not Heather's sister, and it was just really cool to go, okay, to be accepted as just her own self, as Kristen, not as Heather's sister. I'm the oldest. That never happened to me. The closest I got is when I'm in my hometown, I'm Bill Shell's son. or Anshel's son, whoever. You know, but that doesn't really, I don't know, I don't feel like that does a lot to me. So, but that, you know, but we can get pigeonholed into that spot of being somebody that everybody has this context, because that's how the human brain works. Our brains are pattern seekers. We're looking for, oh, okay, I can put this person in that box, and then I know everything that I need to know about them. So that's a challenge on two parts. In the first place, it's a challenge because we can get put into boxes where people will go, oh, you're so-and-so's sister, you're so-and-so's kid. Okay, now I know everything I need to know about you. But we can also do that ourselves, because it's not just other people's brains that are pattern seekers. It's ours. Because sometimes we're the ones going, oh, you're Heather's sister. Oh, you are, you're the goofball with a master's degree. You're this, you're that. And it's tricky to do that, but you see in the passage this morning what happens to that town. Jesus literally shows up in his hometown, and their response is, oh, he's the carpenter's son. That's Mary's son. That's James and Joseph's, Judas and Simon's brother. We know him. And because of that, he can't do big miracles. He's just, okay, we're going to heal these people and we're just going to move on. We can do that with places too. You know, we can say, as people do, I think it's Nathaniel, when he meets Nathaniel's friends with Philip. Philip is Jesus' disciple, and Philip's like, hey, you've got to come hear about Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathaniel's like, Nazareth, bro? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Benton Harbor? Can anything good come out of this, whatever place it is that, like, there's nothing good in that place. We can pigeonhole places too. And the best thing is we can also pigeonhole God. We can go, okay, I had this encounter with God when I was a little bit younger, and that is the entirety of what I understand God to be. So I had this encounter in this place with these people, with these songs being sung, maybe about these verses, but there is so much more. Because we see that, right? But we can keep God from doing stuff, it seems, because, you know, Jesus, God in the flesh, in his hometown, people have decided what his limitations are. They know who he is and what he can do. And it says he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And I get that. Like, I feel that. Like, it's one of the churches I grew up in, Covenant Church of Pittsburgh. It was a very different context than this one. It was one of those sort of industrial-looking churches. Have you ever been in those ones? They've got like you can see the girders in the roof or in the ceiling, and they don't have actual it's not white. It's black on the top, and the room is darker and. You know, they've got the light show and the specific song, the specific praise and worship music from the 1990s. Maybe this isn't your experience. I'm just sharing mine, so maybe you can connect with that. But that's where and of course, everyone raises their hands in worship. And that is the context where I probably felt the most connected to God. for many of you, it may be this context right here, right? Or there's like another church I attended. There was a young adults group, and that place really, it was a much smaller room, and it, but you know, the similar industrial style of the building. Are you getting that? The style of the building and the kind of music that gets played, maybe the people who were there leading worship, and that is what God is all about, right? That experience that we had back then that maybe won't come back. The experience of singing together in a room filled with people, that maybe that's gone. We're tempted to draw lines, and I'm telling you that because that's my temptation, to draw lines away around the way God works. 2 Corinthians 5:16, Paul talks about how from now on we regard, I've probably skipped over stuff. Do I have that? That's what happens when I don't charge my clicker. 2 Corinthians 5:16, Paul says, from now on we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We no longer know him in that way. Are my slides gone, Michael? Well, at least there's something. Okay. People, even God, can be and are more than we imagined. Because I was thinking about that and going, okay, well, do I say that God's not in that encounter that I had? In when I felt a sense of the presence of God in those places with those people. Is that not who God is? Well, of course not. But God is more than that, not less, remember? Because Jesus is the carpenter's son, right? Jesus is Mary's son, the brother of his brothers, the brother of his sisters. All those things are true. But wait, there's more. He's the son of God. So, that to say, we can experience God in the ways we did before. We can. But that doesn't have to limit God to only be accessed in those places, with those people, with that music. There's so much more. There's so much more. In the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis' last book, The Last Battle, at the end of the book, everyone is, they go into Aslan's country, and the further in they get, the better it gets and the more beautiful it gets. And someone says, further up and further in. And maybe that's what happens in the age to come, that it's an eternity exploring the expansive grace of God, that we just keep discovering more and more of the goodness of God. And maybe others too. So, don't let people pigeonhole you. Maybe look again at the people that you've decided that you know everything you need to know about them. Look again at the bad part of town. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And we don't want to even try to decide that we have a monopoly on who God is, because if we do that, then we miss out on a lot of the power of God, because Jesus gets limited by their unbelief, and they miss out on so much of Jesus that they could have experienced. So, let's not miss out. Let's look again, and let's pray. God, we give you thanks for how much more there is, how we could never get bored learning more about you, learning more about others, connecting with you, with others, with places that we've decided we know everything we need to know about, and we can put them in a nice, convenient, I've got everything figured out box. God, forgive us for the times that we have decided that that's all there is to someone or something or someplace. Open our eyes to wonder, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.